8:02 the time, a Tuesday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show, and welcome to the program on an absolutely beautiful and sunny Laguna Beach morning. All week long, we're going to meet the candidates, and this morning, we are delighted to share some space with this gentleman here. Lewis Weil is running for city council candidate, and if you haven't seen him or met him, take some time right now, and let's get to meet Lewis Weil. Thank you for coming in for the conversation this morning.
Thank you, Ed. Good morning, Laguna Beach. Let's have a great conversation this morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. Now, you're a dad, so was there taking care of kids? Was there dropping them off places before you got here? What was your morning like?
Not this morning. This morning, I just got out, and I went over to Laguna Coffee, got a little coffee and a bagel, said hi to some friends, right. And then did a little walk, came over here, and the wife took care of the kids this morning, so it's a good tag team effort on our part. But as soon as I'm done here, I'm running over to the PTA meeting over at El Moro.
Right.
And so it's a go.
It's like the tag, and you jump over that top rope to get into the ring, right? It's like that. Okay, I see how it is. So running for office is different than anything else you would have experienced in your professional life. Give me a little rundown of what your last several weeks or last month or whatever has been like.
Yeah, I mean, it's, not an easy decision to do this. And right. Actually, to my thought process, you know, when you create a 5-year plan or whatnot, you know, if you asked me 3 years ago or 2 years ago if this was even on my radar, it wasn't. Right. But, you know, as I've gotten more involved with the community, I've been on the design review board, and I've started following things a lot more. I felt it was just important that now is a time that I had the energy, I have the time to put back to our community. And I feel like I bring a lot to the table by being a different generation, a different place in life, raising kids here in town. And we need that voice brought forward. And I thought, hey, why not me?
Right.
I've got a wealth of backgrounds, experience, and connectivity throughout town. I also have a family that's been here for a really long time, and they've been involved in lots of nonprofits and organizations throughout the community. So they really taught me how to love this town and how to cherish it and how to really think critically of what's important to Laguna Beach as residents and as we move forward, because Laguna Beach has always evolved a little bit, right?
Right, right.
It's not been the high growth or high change that you see in like Riverside or Irvine. But how do we do things in a unique way that folds into the fabric of Laguna Beach? And, you know, through design review, I've really gotten to see all ends of this town. I've gotten to meet more people. I've gotten to stand in more living rooms, have good conversations. And, you know, I felt like in the last 2 or 3 years, we haven't been having good conversations as a community. Right. So I want to bring that forward. I want to bring us together. I want to get us to work together so we have clear visions to move forward.
We had the forum that KXFM hosted together with the Laguna Beach Chamber of Commerce and Laguna Board of Realtors the other night. And something struck me that you said. You said that you wanted Laguna Beach to improve the quality of life for residents and business owners.
Yeah.
How so?
Well, I mean, I think now more than ever, the concept of being a tourist or a resident in town is more blended, right? The things that are good for residents can be good for tourists. And when you talk about things like sidewalks, it benefits both, right? You know, when we talk about Art Walk, right? One of the reasons we don't participate in Art Walk that often is because walking on Coast Highway with my 5- and 7-year-old is terrifying, right? You know, one little slip of the hand and, you know, there's accidents that happen all over town, and it's you can't prevent everything from happening. But how do we make it a more safe place?
That's an actual fear. That's an actual fear. As a father of young children, that's an actual fear of yours,
dude. I'm terrified. Like our preschools across Coast Highway,
right?
And even having my mother-in-law walk across the street, holding hand in hand with a 3-year-old that wants or a 4-year-old that wants to get out of your hand and run.
Right.
It is scary.
Right.
I mean, we've got lots of traffic. We've got lots of hard visibility. And, you know, if we can make those improvements, it's a quality of life benefit for all of us.
Right. And you mentioned business owners in that as well. So it's an improvement for their quality of life and quality of business.
I mean, the more we have synergies across our business community, the more they can thrive and the more services they can provide for us as a community. When we have 50, 60, 70 storefronts that are empty, we're as a community not getting services that we need. Right. And it could be simple as like a clothing store for kids or, you know, a clothing store for women. I mean, or an ice cream parlor.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if, I mean, the the gelato places downtown are phenomenal, but as a resident, I don't want to wait in line for half an hour, 45 minutes to get my favorite ice cream.
One or two more gelato places, please. Now, how do you fill those empty storefronts? What is there a formula that we can utilize to fill those empty storefronts? And you hear, or when you read about it on social media, it's always, oh, the landlords are greedy and they charge too much. And I'll give you the example of the gentleman who owned the 5 Degrees. For years and years and years, he had the greatest the greatest catfish I've ever tasted. Rent was just doubled right away, right? Mm-hmm. And he had to shut down a business that he had there for 25 years. Is it that, or what is the formula?
Yeah, so rents are part of the equation, and even doing commercial real estate, it's usually a negotiated part of the equation, right? But if tenants or entrepreneurs want to come into Laguna Beach, it's all about how do they measure the risks. Right. And if there's not clarity on what they can measure the risk, or what I like to reference is our working documents, our general plan, our municipal codes. And when those are out of alignment, it creates a lot more risk that may be unnecessary just because of the confusion or the timelines to get something processed. And that risk is money to entrepreneurs. And, you know, running a business in town is not a charity, right? And those services and stuff, if it's not balanced or there's clear lines of path that people can evaluate their own risk, that prevents people from putting businesses and services here. I've had great conversations with folks that want to open up like a yoga studio or a Pilates studio. Right. Well, when we brought them to the counter, the confusion and, you know, timelines, it created hesitation. And where'd they take their business? They took their business to Corona Del Mar, but they live here, right? They would have preferred to have their business here, but things like our parking and the clarity of those things come into play that, you know, keep storefronts closed.
How do you restructure the guidelines? Like, absent Measure Q, right. And we'll get into that in a minute, but what kind of guidelines do we need in our commercial zones?
You know, one of the things that just came into play was our downtown specific plan just got an update.
Right.
It got, you know, worked on with members from the chamber, members from Village Laguna. I worked on, you know, downtown urban landscape with, you know, I think we had 30 or 40 people that came and contributed to that kind of working document.
Right.
And those recommendations went into council. And, you know, 2-3 years later, we finally get some movement on that. And that changed, you know, things like blended parking rates that allow parking to be, instead of by use, it's by square footage of the building, recognizing that retail has shifted. It's changed. I mean, we, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we used to have 60% of retail consumption, you know, purchases came from soft goods.
Right. Is that square footage per building a fair number?
You know, I believe it was well vetted. Okay. And I think it is something that we have to figure out where parking goes in our town. So it is alleviating, and businesses provide those impacts and those benefits to the community to offset, you know, the congestion and those things. But, you know, for a small studio that's empty, most people as a resident, I park on the street everywhere. I mean, and then I walk to 4 or 5 businesses.
Right.
So how do we get more access to the available parking and rethink, you know, critically how can we make that work?
Right.
And I think right now we're trying as a community, but that nervousness of that effort is being challenged.
Right. So when you were initially making recommendations for the downtown specific plan, this is a few years back.
Yeah, this was almost five years ago.
5 years back. The parking situation that we see today, was that already in your head, or did we underestimate at that point a little bit?
You know, the parking situation, I mean, Laguna Beach has always been challenged with parking. Historically, right. I mean, if you go back to historical photos, there's cars everywhere, and it looks like mayhem. And so, I mean, some of it can be done with organization. Some of it can be done with destination parking that, you know, generates revenue for the community. I mean, parking in general generates about $4,800 of space back to the community. But how do you do it in a meaningful way in the right location? So we have benefits to our festival grounds, to our downtown, to our beaches, because we do have to make sure we have accessible, accessible access to parking to come to the beach,
right?
That's part of the Coastal Commission. And, you know, I'm a believer that the beach is for the public,
right?
They are connected to our community, but I mean, the joy that the beach brings to so many people, you know, all hours of the day. I mean, one of the cutest things I see is when I walk the beach at night and you see a small family that's there at the beach because they worked all day, but right. their only time to bring their kids to the beach was 9-10 o'clock at night. And look right. at the joy and the that element. That's something we get to share with the world. And it's a special thing for Laguna Beach.
It is. And it is a special for, it's especially special for locals here. And we had been talking over the last couple of sessions, of forum sessions, about the day trippers versus those that will come in and actually spend money in restaurants and hotels. Where are you on the day trippers?
Yeah. So, I mean, the day trippers, you know, they can bring in, you know, their consumables from anywhere, right? So they may not generate tax revenue. So one of the best ways we can capture those dollars is through parking, right? And so if we don't create that access or that, you know, those right fit solutions, right. we can't capture that fund. I was at the Visit Laguna breakfast yesterday,
right?
And talking about how the hotels are driving revenue. Their nightly rates are growing, which also means our tax rates are growing. So they're running businesses that provide benefits for the residents, but they're also generating funds that help provide police services, fire services, ambulance services. And those things come to our community in positive benefits. Right. And they also support our restaurants, our businesses, our shopper, you know, they shop for clothing. And those are good synergies amongst our town. And they're part of our history. I mean, right. being an artist colony wasn't about necessarily selling the art here. It was about how do we draw people in and bring revenue, bring consumption.
Right.
And it's all about balance of how that those things work together. And I think we can do better.
Right. You were a former chamber member You were a chamber member 5 years ago,
yeah.
Or a chamber board member.
Chamber board member.
Okay. And how has that structured your thinking for current businesses, business owners that may want to expand on their businesses and develop maybe another, you know, another counter inside or whatever? Give us your thoughts there.
Yeah, so
how is that colored it?
The fun part about getting involved with the chamber 5 or 6 years ago, it was how I kind of got my start in learning more about this community, the ways of working. It was eye-opening to myself on how complicated a lot of things were, but as I got to work with different members who had been involved for a long time, they gave me an education. And a really good example about those expanding businesses could be something simple like our Hogue Clinic that's downtown, right? It went through a really complicated vetting process to just expand to the location next door. And a lot of it was tied to whether it could or couldn't happen because of parking, right? Did that drive more impact to our town because they expanded, because they needed more equipment in their building, more, you know, an x-ray machine or whatever it was that business needed?
Right.
They had a proposal that needed expansion. And I think that provided good services. I don't believe it provided, you know, much more impact than what was already there in one unit.
Right. You currently sit on the design review board.
Yeah.
We had Peter Blake on yesterday who wants to eliminate the design review board. Talk to us about that. And is it something that can be eliminated? And is it something that you would want to see eliminated or maybe restructured? Or give us your thoughts.
No. So, I mean, design review board, I think, provides a really good benefit for the community. I mean, its original cultivation was how do we allow things to change in the right ways, right? The right fit development, because our town has evolved, but those impacts of what happens in our neighborhood, you know, impact your quality of life, your neighbor's quality of life. But how do we balance those two when it comes to view privacy and balance that kind of unplanned development that we have throughout Laguna Beach.
Right.
And that's cultivated a lot of architecture styles, beautification throughout town. And so we need that, you know, evolution, because that's what the community wants or that's what the residents want.
Right.
But making that balanced is important for our community. So I don't believe we try to get rid of design review, but right. we do need to simplify it. And I've been working to make sure we've streamlined some of the efforts that created, you know, backlog or confusion.
Give us a specific example.
So air conditioners were a great one.
Right.
It used to take you 6-9 months just to have an air conditioner. And really when it would come to the board, it was basically a 3-pronged question, right? How do you minimize the noise? Where do you put it? And overall running hours or top line noise.
Right.
And we put three or four restrictions on it, and then we turned it into a process. So now you can do these four things and you can get an air conditioner.
Okay.
And that simplified for a lot of the community's needs or wants as the environment's changing, the heat, it's getting hotter. And it's a modern, you know, it's a modern part of living. I mean, we have hotels that are now looking to put air conditioners in. Where do you put them? We obviously don't want them on roofs. So we discourage that and created a process, and now it's streamlined. I've also worked on things like adding term limits to the board, because I believe design review is a representation of the community. And if there's not a rotation or new ideas or new perspectives kind of coming into the board, it doesn't help us evolve and address needs as the community evolves.
So being
there for 8 years is significant, and then you got to sit out for 2 years. And then you could come back to the board, but I felt those long-term tenures became deterrents or weaponizations of the design review process that wasn't fair to the parties involved.
That's pretty brilliant right there. Pretty brilliant right there. What else needs to be done moving forward?
You know, there probably is, one good conversation is we have these great design review guidelines for our residential space. We need to probably do this same kind of guideline through the commercial space as well, because there's more pressure coming for housing in our commercial corridors or evolutions to some of those buildings, their age structures.
Right.
How do we create that right fit process and that cultivation of those architectural changes to give them the right footprints?
Right.
So to expand that discussion to the commercial space, I think is important, because right now all we have it specifically carved out is in the downtown specific plan.
You spoke at our last, at the forum, you spoke about the general plan, the specific plans, the coastal programs. You said your challenge with those documents is that they're outdated and we need to align them and get more clarity and not throw more wrenches. Clear that up for the audience.
Yeah. So our working documents, I mean, it's kind of like our Bible, so to say, of development.
Right.
And as I see it, and I've worked with these documents, they're complex, they're complicated, and they're of different decades in perspective. And even some of them, like our coastal program, has been challenged over the last 10 years for being kind of out of alignment. And we've gone back to different working documents in that.
Right.
Newport Beach cleaned up their documents and got them all in alignment and reworking maybe 6 or 8 years ago.
Okay.
And I believe we need to do cleanup and clarify and strengthen our documents so they work for our residents. They work for our development community, and it gives us more products of what we want. Because when we have those gaps or those loopholes or inconsistencies in our process, we get things we don't want. And furthermore, you're seeing more pressure from the outside of Laguna Beach. We're seeing much more pressure for development from the state level.
Right.
So if we don't start to get ahead of this, we're going to be behind the eight ball. And I want to go about the process the right way,
right,
not just throw more wrenches. And I think Measure Q is just another wrench or a Band-Aid that's being laid into our complex document. It doesn't help the situation.
Right.
It potentially makes it worse and will create much more legal challenges and those conflicts for our community. I'd rather go about it the right way and go to work.
Right, right. Well, okay, so we spoke extensively on Measure Q the other night, and for instance, let's say we're talking South Laguna and the fire, the new fire station down there. Mm-hmm. Would that be seriously hindered if Measure Q were already in effect?
Yeah, I mean, the document itself doesn't necessarily, exempt the public buildings.
Right.
And even with acquisitions like St. Catherine's Church, that creates things that even if we vet it as well as we can through the community, we potentially could lose it because of a marketing campaign in the end, even though we do all the things the right way.
Right.
I think the marketing component is what scares me the most about Measure Q, right? When I talk to a lot of community members or stand on soccer fields and talk to parents, even though we're 7 weeks out, 6 weeks out from voting, most of them have no idea what Q, R, or S are, what they're about.
Right.
But they do have these sound bites.
Right.
And do we make decisions by sound bites or do we make decisions through a professional process?
Right.
To me, I choose the professional process. And as a council member, you have the tools in our code that will let us take big projects, significant projects to a vote. And I would use that if necessary.
Are you, when you're out stumping, are you talking equally about R and S as you are Q? Or are you finding more questions regarding Q?
There's definitely much more questions for Q. I think you haven't really seen in the marketing space much about R and S at this point.
Right.
Obviously, we had those discussions at the council chambers. But Q obviously has had oppositions for and against. And so it's been an active discussion for the town. And I think some of that's been healthy. Some of it's brought good things to light.
Right.
But the marketing component is what I'm most challenged with.
Okay. Now, Tiamo has been talked about a lot here recently. And the city purchased the Tiamo site, the Tiamo property. You're a real estate agent. Talk to us about selling that at a profit. And you, I think I heard you mention that you weren't even ready to sell that yet.
Yeah, I mean, to have made a decision to purchase something and then to turn around and flip it, the only ones that win are the realtors, which is a good thing for my industry, right?
Right.
But as a community...
So the city wouldn't win selling it at a profit?
Well, in short term, if you don't make much profit, you still pay commissions, right?
Okay.
And so there's cost of making those transactions. Okay. Have we been positive on those costs yet?
Right.
I don't think, I can't imagine we are.
Okay.
Right? The market's starting to shift and change. But I do like the idea that we've acquired properties in South Laguna. South Laguna, we had a good conversation with their Civic Association last night. And a lot of it was kind of geared towards how do we look end to end of the town and make the right choice investments. Well, we're making investments as a community down there. And before we pull the trigger of let's get rid of something or let's throw something out, we need to have a comprehensive discussion. What are all the benefits that we can do with all the resources we have down in South Laguna?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we get the most bang for that buck? If we go through all those discussions and we have enough resources and enough public benefit to say we can sell this building or this building, then let's have that discussion. But until we decide what all we need or what benefits we can have, I think it's too soon to pull the trigger to sell something.
Okay, so we've got in South Laguna, the dental office that we're looking at is possible, the possible firehouse or the possible fire station. Still, and you're saying still hold on to Tiamo and see what we could possibly do with that property as well?
Yeah, because there's more needs in South Laguna given the conversation, right?
Right
now, the county runs the beaches. Our service patrols, for police,
right,
lifeguard, they're not as accessible or stationed down there. We
right
need visibility. We have a hospital. We're, building a fire station. There is a fire station down there, but
right
it needs to be updated.
So your wish list for that property, for the Tiamo property, what's Lewis's wish list for that?
I think we have to take a hard look at public safety. All right. And if the fire station isn't going to be in that location like it was originally intended, if we do have lifeguard services and we do have police, much more police activity down for the beaches and that's and even for the residents, we probably need to be looking at public bathrooms in that location. We need to be looking at maybe a community room in that location and police and lifeguard stationing, because we will. I think the general desire from last night's conversation is how do we improve services down in South Laguna?
Right.
And so one of it is you have to be prepared to employ people in South Laguna.
Right.
And right now we don't have resources and we don't have stationing
right
down there.
In your view, would that have to be contingent on our taking over those beaches?
I think the conversation needs to run together. It doesn't necessarily have to be at the same time, but
right
I wouldn't be one to pull the trigger and say, oh, let's go sell this building. And then 6 months later, oh, we're going to take the beaches over. Now we need resources.
Right.
So the two do run parallel to me, parallel with me.
Right.
But I think we have a little bit of time to make those right choices.
All right. Speaking of taking over, here along Coast Highway, I stand here at this radio station and I quite literally every day almost see someone get hit in that crosswalk where unfortunately a gentleman was killed a few weeks back. And usually, and if you look out the window and you see when traffic has stopped a little bit, you can see people on their phones from here.
Yeah.
It's many things at once. It's distraction, it's speed, it's the crosswalk, it's everything. Are you in favor, first of all, of taking over from Caltrans Coast Highway?
I am, because I think as a community, we've been underserved from Caltrans. We've accepted generic results and execution. I mean, the sidewalk project in North Laguna was abandoned, and then we just put a Band-Aid on it now to fix it. There's asphalt. We didn't complete the project, but we did put a Band-Aid on it like 6 months later. We need to look at how do we improve the overall walking visibility and total transportation through the corridor. And I believe if we bring it back in house, we can do that. We can control it. The local control can do better than being subject to a state bureaucracy.
Right. So specifically, let's say we take over the coast. What are your thoughts specifically over our crosswalks? The next five as you go down this Oak Street, Brooks.
You know, as we have a high need for our residents to cross the street to get over to the beaches and tourists alike. I think we need to have consistent sidewalks. If we do have them, obviously in South Laguna, we don't have very many crosswalks. So we see people running across Coast Highway all the time. I'll admit I've done it. Right.
It's dangerous, but at times it's
I don't do it with my children, but I've done it. But I think we need to make it much more. We need to reduce the barriers to entry to do the crosswalks the right way. Right. We need to have consistency within our lighting and our streetscape and our visibility so we can see our pedestrians day and night a lot clearer. Because when the flashing lights are out, as a person in the crosswalk, you can't see that they're not working.
No.
So you feel like you have an element of protection, but you don't. And that creates a lot of danger and a lot of stress.
Even when the lights work, I watch people have to stand there as people just shoot by and shoot through it, which brings us to policing. And I'm going to go back to specific traffic in a second, and we'll talk about Glen Eyrie in a second. But policing specifically, we're looking to recruit more officers. Would you be in favor of utilizing more officers specifically for traffic?
Yeah, and I think with our new Park Ranger program that's been been adopted and being reinforced, it's giving the police department new tools. Right. I think we constantly need to evaluate the right tools and the right needs and wants or service levels that we need throughout a community, and we need to make the right investments because keeping people safe, keeping our residents safe is the most important, whether it's fire or police. As lots of organizations, lots of industries are going through the growing pains of labor shortages, and the cities, you know, aren't alone. We're not the only city having this challenge.
Right.
We need to be competitive in that marketplace for keeping the right talent, getting the most out of the talent, and being a realist with what talent levels we have to recruit. Maybe it's not a 30-year program for an officer in Laguna Beach, but maybe it's a great 10-year program, and then they can seek other opportunities. Right. Whatever that career path is for that officer, I want to make sure, as Laguna Beach, from an employer standpoint, they're well-respected, they're well-engaged, and they're a vital part of our community, which our police department does a phenomenal job of showing up, coffee with a cop. Right. You know, I've seen... You know, Chief Calvert, in the last day, I see him everywhere.
Right, he's as accessible as you've ever seen a police chief.
And it's phenomenal that we have a chief that lives in town.
Right.
Right. And those are going to be some workplace dynamic things that we need to evaluate as a community. What levels of our employment do we need to bring into the town so they get part of the fold of Laguna Beach and they have the eyes of residents because they're here, they're living, breathing, and being part of our community.
Right.
That's a challenge as we go forward over the next 30 years.
That's also, that'll take us into affordable housing for police officers and those essential service workers that should or would like to live here.
Right.
Right. So, okay. And that is also part of the plan moving forward for you?
Yeah. I mean, affordable housing is, you know, I was on the task force for affordable housing. Right. I'll be honest with everyone. Before I got onto that, I knew absolutely nothing about affordable housing.
Right.
But I got a really good crash course, and there was a lot of very skilled residents. We have as a community, we have a knowledge base that's unbelievable. You meet people at coffee shops, or you know, the backgrounds and the talent we have here is invaluable. Yeah. But when it comes to affordable housing, we need to figure out how the right fit works within our folds, and then it also provides the right benefit long term. I do think the younger the employed is probably some of the services we really need to consider when it comes to applying affordable housing. Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back to traffic for 1 second. And I didn't want to leave Glen Erie out of this. We do have responsibility for Glen Erie. And you know, as well as anybody else who's ever tried to cross at night there, it's a tough street. It's not the safest street in the world. What do we do specifically about Glen Erie? And if, for instance, and how do you fight the battle? If you want to put lights and make it more well lit at night, will you get complaints from the people that live there? And how do you walk that line?
Yeah, Glen Erie, I own a house over on Oak Street. And so Glen Erie is like it's an artery for the residents. I mean, we're the ones that use it. Right. I mean, you know, on Google and the maps, it doesn't necessarily show you to come up there. And so it's a great, I guess, residential, you know, inside track.
Right.
But we do need to evaluate, because e-bikes have changed our transportation. We're starting to see a lot more golf carts throughout town. So we need to look at Glen Erie comprehensively of what are the right benefits to utilize our asset of that street in the most productive way. And how do we get either more parking on Glen Erie, more bike paths on Glen Erie, more walkability on Glen Erie, plus balancing the traffic?
How do we do that?
You know, an element that comes to mind is you look at Corona Del Mar, and they've just come through Coast Highway and completely redesigned their trash cans, their streetscape, the beautification that's done there. If they can do it, we can do it. Right. It starts with a conversation, right? It starts with being willing to bring the parties to the table. It starts by knocking on doors and getting input from other people and what's important, right? If we can't get the conversation on the ground, we can't make change. So I'm a huge proponent of let's have the conversation. Let's get the discussions out of the way. And then once we've made decisions as a community, let's have the leaders that have the wherewithal to move things forward, how to execute, how to keep, you know, the feet to the fire to make sure it's getting done for our residents. My professional background, that's what I did. That's what I do. I know how to make people be engaged, be vetted, be inspired by what that project's going to be, and give them the availability and the empowerment to achieve it. That's what I bring to the table, and that's what I think our community needs, because we've shelved way too many good ideas on the on a bookshelf, and all they're doing is collecting dust.
Right. A couple of more questions before I let you go. 10 years from now, what do you expect the promenade to look like? What do you expect Forest to be in 10 years? What is it you see in your head when you think about it 10 years from now?
Well, you know, when you look at a 30,000 feet view of our downtown, you know, there's a lot of individual owners, there's a lot of individual shops, and there's a lot of individual interests. But I think you have to look, you know, you have to kind of remove yourself up and kind of recognize that this is a district. This is a mall, so to say. And how does that mall efficiently work for both the businesses, the beachgoers, and the residents? And I didn't necessarily put that in any priority order.
Right.
The residents are important. But when I was on the chamber, we did a downtown urban scape. And one of the biggest conversations we had was, how do we improve walkability, enjoyment spaces, you know, places to gather, meet our friends, right? Forest Avenue, by closing it, has created that space for our community, right? It's let our artists perform. It's let our, you know, our artists do things on the streets and murals. It's let us be creative, right? Right? That's what those spaces do. It lets Laguna Beach be who we are. And if we don't try to evaluate those things to get the best fit, we're just doing things to do things. So I'm looking forward to the conversation on Thursday night, because there's a lot of value that we can have as a community by making that more of a parkscape and more of a place to gather and go, all while balancing services of the restaurants and the shop owners and the, you know, candy store is my kid's favorite one. And so the more we go there, the more candy they get. And I think by having it blocked off to cars and pedestrians, that space is so much more enjoyable. We've spent more time there as a family.
Right.
And we used to not.
We opened the conversation up about talking about your family. And you are a young father. And I want you to close out by really take a minute to tell us the hopes and dreams of your kids, 5 and 7, growing up here in Laguna, then your hopes and dreams for them as they grow up here, and also maybe some fears as a dad.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fun part about being a parent, right? Is you're not just responsible for yourself, you're responsible for two little humans. And, you know, there's probably good things I do, and there's probably things that I need to do better. But for me, It's how do I inspire my kids to chase their dreams, chase the things they want to do? And at this stage in life, it's soccer and baseball.
Right.
But you know, as they grow older, I want them to find the joy, whether it's the beach or the surfing or the bike riding or what brings joy to their life. And I want them to chase those opportunities as they, you know, grow up, go to high school and chase going to college and come out hopefully with opportunities. I want them to be independent thinkers. I want them to find their way in life. One thing that I hope is that they have such a great childhood here and they have the reach and the access to things. And then when they find out who they are or what they want to do when they grow up, that Laguna Beach is part of that conversation because Laguna Beach is home, right? Right. My wife grew up here and we moved to Texas when we got married. And after a couple of years there, we had a lot of fun. We enjoyed, we met great friends, but she wanted to come home.
Yeah, right. It's Texas, for God's sake.
We lived in Austin. So it was a beautiful part of our relationship. But a lot of her friends have that education. They have the means. They have the, you know, the skills and the joys in life. But Laguna Beach isn't part of their conversation of where they want to be.
Right.
And so that's the part that scares me, because if my children want to come home and be near mom and dad or be with the family, that's their choice. And I hope they make that. My parents were just here this last weekend, and they live in Denver, and we're a little bit of ways, but right. It's always fun when family gets together. And I think that's one of the most crucial parts of raising kids, is how do you keep families together and create those moments in life? And I think as a town, we can create those moments for our residents and add to the value and the quality of life of living here.
Lewis Weil, candidate for City Council of Laguna Beach, thank you so much for spending the time with us this morning. It was a great conversation to have with you.
Ed, thank you so much for the time. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you as well. 8:39 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.